book, The Living with Passion, 10 Simple Secrets That Guarantee Your Success. And his chapter 9, woo, we only have one left after today. Chapter 9, it has to do with goals. And I know a lot of you have gone through goal setting, and boy, you've heard about it 100 times. So today I'm going to isolate on what he says about goals, but I'll try to highlight things that I think are unique about what he says about goal setting, in addition to going through other things that he says. One of the quotes at the beginning of this chapter is, I'm going to try to put you on star 6 because I hear a lot of flack in the back that kind of quash some of the noise. Okay. Do I have everybody there? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, still got you. I'm not sure I can block you, but hopefully. Anyway, the quote he says at the beginning of his chapter is, the purpose of goals is to focus our attention. The mind will not reach it toward achievement until it has clear objectives. The magic begins when we set goals. It is then the switch is turned on, the current begins to flow, and the power to accomplish becomes a reality. And that's a great quote. I love that. In fact, if you wanted to download that or take it off of the outline today, what a great piece to put up on your wall somewhere, because it really is powerful when we talk about having a goal, focusing on putting our attention on those goals. And that quote came from The Best of Success, which is a book compiled by Wynn Davis. Okay, the talk today, of course, is back to Peter Hirsch, Living with Passion, Those 10 Simple Secrets. And before I get into his book, I just wanted to add a little comment that I came across this weekend. Lydia wants me to start on a new, we do Bible studies all the time, and she bought some books, and actually one of the books had come in from a friend of mine in Manitech. They sent me this book last year, and it's from Sue and Scott Drager out of Wisconsin, and the book is entitled How to Live Life on Purpose by Art Sepulveda. Some of you might be familiar with it. But I was just perusing through the books for purposes of doing a Bible study around it for this next upcoming couple months, and came across the following quote, which I just love because it's so in tune with what this talk is about today. So that's why I decided to put it in here. And the quote was, each person has a choice to be either a wandering generality, a jack of all trades, a master of none, or to be a meaningful specific, someone who is focused on a goal. And those two as trade-offs to me, I heard that language once before. It was in a Clemmer course, Personal Mastery, when I first kicked off, and I'll never forget the concept of being a wandering generality. When I heard that terminology once before in my life, I kept thinking, wow, I do not want to have on my tombstone Mary Jo Hilliker, a wandering generality. I mean, it was so nondescript. It was kind of the nothingness of never making an impact, and it wasn't that I felt that I was at that stage in my life. Those words just really hit me hard of something that, wow, that is not where I want to be in my life. That is not the purpose that God's put me on this earth. So that's why I wanted to pass on the quote to you, because I think it's so impactful to me. I love the concept of meaningful specific versus wandering generality. Okay, so let's look at that. Let's talk about goals. And of course, we know the importance of goals. Your life, out of his book, he says your life can be like a Sunday drive. Again, that becomes a wandering generality, meandering through life. Or you can be on purpose, by design, journey to your destination. And if you look at the word destiny or destination or destined, all are rooted in a Latin word named word called destinare, and that means to establish or to make fast or firm. So it's establishing something, making something fast and firm in our life. And if you want to look at history and in business and success books, a lot of us go back to Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, a great book written over 65 years ago at this point in time, 60 years ago.
Already, huh?
And Napoleon Hill is truly one of the greatest advocates of goal setting and goal getting.
Oh,
and
water.
Hello, I can hear you in the background. Please quiet down. Okay, thanks. He was a master. Peter Hirsch, the one who wrote this book, actually met Napoleon Hill one time, and he said to Peter, if you want to win, if you want success in any endeavor, there is one and only one quality you will require, definiteness of purpose. And that's so big, definiteness of purpose, which is really what we're talking about when we talk about goals. Goals in and of themselves have phenomenal power. they really take on their own energy source. When you write them and you put them down on paper and you start working with them, they have their own energy source. They tend to bring the universe with it. They put your thought process in alignment. They bring clarity to your purpose and your direction in life. So they really have a life on their own. And a lot of you are familiar with the Harvard or Yale story. I've heard it so many times. You know, this is an incredible story. I don't know how many of you have heard it, but I'm sure you've heard it, that there was a study done years ago of a class of graduating students. I've heard it from that it's Yale students, and I've heard it Harvard. I've heard that then they looked at the entire school student body that was graduating. Only 10% had goals, and only 3% had them written. And 20-some years later, they got back for a class reunion, and the 3% who had written goals were now worth more in economic terms than the entire remaining 97% of the class. Now, that's a story I've heard 20 different times in my Manatech career, and I even read an article in Network Marketing Times one time that said there's absolutely no proof of that story existing anywhere, but it's written in books. Everybody always recites it. They talk about it. They share it. And unquestionably, it probably comes from somewhere. Somebody just tried to research it and try to find it. But the reality is that less than 3% of us have written goals. And, you know, that study and those results came back 30 years ago. And, you know, today, you know what the statistic is today in our country? What percentage of our population have written goals? Does anyone know? 3%. We're still at the same percentage, notwithstanding years of self-development, of books like Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. Every book you read out there on success, I don't care if it's Canfield, if it's Stephen Covey, it's whoever, they always tell you, build a plan, set your goals, build a plan around your goal setting, and yet still, that's your roadmap to success. Still, 3% of the population are the only ones that are doing it. So we are like stuck in that realm of why are we not setting goals? And when you look at Peter Hirsch's book, and he outlines, he says there are four reasons, major reasons, why people don't set goals. And here's one of them. They have not been sold on any one idea yet. In other words, they're out there living in this, you know, wandering generality structure of their life and just feeling like they, you know, I haven't been sold. I don't know what my purpose is. I can't find my dream. I can't, you know, and I'm going to suggest that's due to lack of effort. And for no other reason than due to lack of effort, because your efforts towards this direction, and we're going to talk about how to put efforts forth to find those things later on in the talk, but critical that we need to start isolating on an idea or a dream in our life. Does that dream have to be set in stone? Some of you are such analysts, unless it's perfect, you can't focus on it, and that's ridiculous. It doesn't have to be perfect. That's why it's a goal and it's a dream. It's something down the road. It doesn't have to. Your life is going to look so different from what you think it's going to look like. But in order to achieve something, you've got to be directed. You have to have a focal point, have clarity around it. But it doesn't have to have perfection to it, just clarity around it. Second reason why people don't have goals is they do not know how to set goals. And that, I don't hold anyone. I mean, ignorance today around goal setting is just by choice only. For the most part, it's by choice. We have ignorance around the critical importance of goals in our society, I believe, but we surely don't have ignorance on how to set goals, because there's so much documentation and so many phenomenal amounts of materials out there on how to set goals. That's when you get involved in network marketing. That's one of the first things. I remember when I was first involved in it, my upline said, okay, come to my leadership meetings unless you have your written goals. We can even show up. Some of you remember this from Suzanne Kemp, our upline, but we used to have leadership at our house once a month in San Antonio, and I'd drive from Dallas to go down to San Antonio to do this, and it was incredible. I mean, she wouldn't even let you in the front door unless you had cards with your written goals on it. She was crazed in this area, and I understand why. I mean, after I did all my research on it, I really truly understood why, and I really don't enjoy working with people who don't have set goals in their lives, because it's hard for me to help them get somewhere when they don't know where they're trying to get. You got to have clarity around what that looks like. Where are you going? So you need to know how to set goals. For you who are leaders on this call, it's a hard thing. And then some of you leaders on this call, you don't set goals, and yet you try to pound in your people that you bring on board. They need to set goals. Well, you can't get other people to do something you're not doing yourself. Because then I'm going to tell you, you're totally out of integrity in your life, and that's not going to lead you to any positive results. So make sure you have your goals set. Believe in them yourself. Structure them. Believe in them. Work with them. Otherwise, you're not going to lead other people to do the same thing. The third reason why people don't have goals, he said they're afraid because getting goals involves risk. And, of course, they're setting goals involves risk. A lot of people are so risk-averse that they don't want to step up and set goals because it's risky. And, you know, the concept of being risk-averse is somebody who's change-averse. They don't want to change. So it gets back into that rule of insanity that you keep expecting different results, but you don't do anything differently. That's insanity. You want to change things in your life. You want something better in your life. You want to achieve success in your life in different areas. You got to be able to absorb change. You got to thrive on it. You got to fall in love with it. And change means risk. So it's about risk. We are risk takers. There's not a successful business person on the face of the earth that isn't a major risk taker. In fact, most of those people never even look at it as quote unquote a risk. They just look at it as, oh, an opportunity. Everything is an opportunity. Present it as an opportunity. And we step into opportunities with joy and a heartfelt concern of this is the direction, this will change my life, this will make a difference, and change is good. So that's the third reason. The fourth reason why people don't have goals is because of lack of self-esteem and self-image. Some people out there truly believe, and I'm sure there are people on this call today, truly believe they don't deserve success. And that truly is just off the charts, so misdirected. It's so wrong, especially for those of you who are Christians that read biblical scripture. Anything is possible through him. The Lord gives us a covenant of abundance in biblical scripture. The covenant of abundance is upon us. So it's everybody deserves success. Everybody. In fact, the intriguing part that Peter gets involved in, it's not just the concept that everybody deserves success. Get rid of the self-esteem and self-worth issues and self-image issues that are trashing you every day. That's just that little voice that you keep trying to listen to when there's no truth to it whatsoever. Trash that stuff and start rebuilding how you talk to yourself. You can look at Helmstetter's book, What You Should Say to Yourself When You Talk to Yourself. It's a great book to change that voice in your head. Convert it to successful thinking. I believe in myself. I'm capable, able. Start using that kind of positive language around it. Because not only is it a concept of robbing from yourself, when you say to yourself, I'm not worthy of success, I don't deserve success, you not only rob from yourself, but you rob from the world. And that's the point Peter Hirsch makes in his book. Because he says when you're out there and you're having success in your life, you motivate other people. You step up and motivate and drive other people. And that's one of the reasons I love to travel so much. I love to do trainings. This past weekend, I was out in Des Moines, Iowa. What a great place. And you guys, any of you on the call, you did a great job. Showed up big time. Just had a wonderful training session there. But, you know, the feedback I get from those is always, Mary Jo, you just opened my mind to something. You've motivated me to do this. I can't wait to get back out on track again. You brought us back and put us back in perspective on how to grow our business and how to love on people and share with them and just come with heart and get the focus off of us. You know, I just get such phenomenal feedback. Well, that's being successful in your life and sharing that success with other people so that they can, you can give them something and impact their lives and contribute to them in a very meaningful way. That's the robbing you're doing of other people if you choose not to be successful. So, you know, being successful and deserving success is not just robbing you, but it's robbing other people. It's robbing the impact you can have on other people's lives. And that's a huge point to look at. For a lot of you, you need to start grappling with that. I'm stealing from the world when I don't step up to the success that's inherently within me. Okay, so it goes that it's not just robbing you, not just that you deserve success, but it's your responsibility to step into and achieve it. All right, now let's look at setting goals, and this is an area, again, that there's tons of materials out there, and I'm not going to get heavily involved in it because I even have some great stuff on the internet, manatrain.net site. If you've got some intrigue in getting goal setting, I've got a bunch of documents year-end. Probably look in December on my talks I did in December because I spend a lot of time every year at the year-end. I spend a lot of time around setting goals, you know, evaluating your year and then setting goals for your next year. If you're having a hard time setting goals, you can ask a few questions. If you're sitting there going, I can't dream, Mary Jo, I can't. And then I say, well, ask yourself a few questions. Some of them I've outlined in here that came out of Peter's books. One of them is, what things do I value most in life? What have I always wanted to do but was afraid to try? Those are the kind of questions you ask. You also ask the question, here's another one for you. If you really want to know where your goal is and what your dream is, say to yourself, what if you won $20 million in a lottery? What would you do with that money? And really spend a good half an hour, hour, 2 hours thinking about it. Focus on what you would do with that money. And I'm going to tell you, everything that you do with that money now should become a goal in your life, because it must be something that you want. If you have it, well, start dreaming that and watch what happens. How many of you have heard about this new movie out called The Secret? We have people who have heard about that. It's a movie about, and it's great to get. You can get it. You can actually get it online. You can listen to it online and pay $5 to listen to it, and then they give you credit if you want to buy it later. But it all has to do with As a Man Thinketh. It's about the power of our mind, the metaphysical power of the mind, as a man thinketh. And it's also scripturally based. So it's about putting it, focusing it on your mind. So when you believe in something, that's when you start putting energy towards it, and the universe puts energy, and God puts energy in it for you. Because, you know, he tells us, I will give you the desires of your heart. So as a man thinketh, so is he. All these phraseologies, they're so strong and so powerful. So that's what we need to do, is start focusing on things that we want in life. And that's what you want to do. If you're having a hard time dreaming or coming up with what your goals are, start asking those kind of questions. All goals have to be written. They all need to be SMART. SMART meaning specific, measurable, attainable, risky, timely. Another thing that Peter adds to this whole concept is that all goals need to be positive. So don't say, by December 30th, I stop smoking. That's a negative. So you would put, by December 30th, what? I live in a smoke-free environment. You can't stop smoking. You can't keep smoking and live in a smoke-free environment, can you? So you make a positive statement. He wants everything to be positive. Everything needs to be in present tense. That's the way I teach it, too. You make it present, because if you say, I will be presidential in Manitowoc by December 2007, now it's something in the future, and your whole body puts it out. The energy goes out to something that's going to happen in the future instead of present. You want your energy today to be focused and directed on a present. So you say, I am presidential director in Manitowoc, December 2007. I am, using present language. Start behaving as a presidential today and watch what happens to your business and how it grows. Start being presidential today. What does presidential look like for you? Come up with the characteristics that surround presidential status and start operating from that today. I'm telling you, when I see people out there that are successful in Manitowoc, they were people that, at, you know, when they're at 6,000, they were taking on incredible roles and supporting and helping. They were presenting themselves as a mentor. They were presenting themselves as a, you know, as an example, duplicatable example to their organization. They started all those characteristics that make an effective presidential early on in their business. And that's what you want to do. Take them on today and watch what happens. You'll grow into that. The other thing that I thought was so incredibly important in his book that we don't read a lot is that your goals should be shared with like-minded people. And he calls these your champions in your life. Champions are people who take on the on your mission, they'll step in and they will defend you. They'll take the field on your behalf. In other words, they'll go to battle for you. They are loyal. They're committed mentors, friends who fight the fight with and for you. Those, you want to find champions in your life. And champions look like what? They could be a spouse. They could be friends you have. They could be, you know, cross-line people in Manitowoc. They could be, definitely should be your upline. If you have an upline that's not a champion of you, then find a different upline. I don't mean drop out and come back under somebody else. Go higher in your upline. You haven't found the right person who's a true leader. The people who are leaders in your organization should be ones that support you and intently defend you and fight for you to make you the best you can be in this business. Those are the people that are your champions, and those are the ones that need to see and work with you on your goals, and they will support you and meet those goals. So find those champions. On the other hand, you also need to be a champion yourself. When your downline says, I want to be regional director by the end of this month, you go, yes, let's go after it. Let's get it. And you need to reinforce it. You need to put it at the bottom of your emails you send to this person. You need to take it on as if it's your own goal. So you need to become champions for other people as well as find champions for your cause. Absolutely need a support system around our goals. It's critical for anything we try to achieve in life to have champions. You're what? A man can't be an island. You don't want to be an island. You don't want to isolate. You want to get the energy around you. It's one of the things that we talked about, masterminds. Remember when we went through the concept of mastermind? You want to have champions around you. You want to have people who fight for your causes, defend you, and operate from that realm, that are really supporting you 100% behind what you're trying to achieve. If you choose to be an island, you're never going to have the champions to support you. So choose to be a champion and choose champions around you. The next thing he talks about in his book, in this chapter, he talks about there are three parts to accomplishment: results, personal growth, and fun. Results can be very empty in and of themselves if they don't have a defined purpose to them. So you have to have clarity around the direction to really enjoy your results. It's about a woman in network marketing who got up to $10,000 a month, and then she got up to $20,000 a month, and she still felt this incredible sense of lack of accomplishment. She was very empty because money doesn't bring happiness. So having money as a goal in of itself is not where happiness is ever going to be for you, ever. Money doesn't bring happiness. In fact, money brings a lot of sadness and loneliness and isolation and all sorts of negativity unless there's some purpose behind it. So you want to be incredibly linked to a purpose. I mean, I looked at my life and I said, okay, where did I see results that just didn't bring me happiness? And I can tell you, I practiced law for many years and I loved it. I thrived in the battle. I thrived in the battle. But when the day was done, I felt this emptiness in my life. Sure, I was accomplishing it from an egotistical perspective. My goodness, what a reinforcement all that was. Successful negotiations, buying and selling companies, winning, 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 winning all the time, beating up on the person across the table, negotiating sessions. That was incredible. That's what I was taught. That's how I was raised in my schooling. But at the end of the day, there was this sense of emptiness. And I didn't want to live in that sense of emptiness. You can have a lot, have, but it gets down to what? Focusing on the beingness around it. And that gets to, two, personal growth. Rank all of your results. Here's a great approach he takes. And I think you can put this and develop this in kind of a concept in your life. If you take all the results you achieve in life and you put them on a scale of 1 to 10, where are they on that 1 to 10? So you might get to executive director. That was the goal you chose. Okay, what is that on a scale of 1 to 10? Well, you could put, well, that was like an 8 to me. Well, 10 is perfect. Nothing's missing from it. So anything less than a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10 as to results you've accomplished, start to examine what could have been done to make it a 10. Direct yourself into creative adjustments you need to make in your life. Focus on getting better. And here's a quote that came out of the book that I loved again, another one, a great one. The most profound thing you can do to bring any and all of your goals to successful manifestation is to be a successful person. And again, that gets into the beingness of who you are. What is the beingness of a successful person? Outline that for yourself. Just sit down today after the call and say, what is the beingness of a successful person? And put down 10 characteristics of a successful person. What is the beingness of it? What is their character? Who are they being? Not what they've a presidential. No, that's not a successful person. That's a result. We're talking about what's the beingness of a successful person. And start outlining those for yourself, and how can you step into that beingness. And then a critical factor, too, that he brought in is that always remember reward. Have fun with it. When you get a result in life, you want to reward yourself. You want to make sure there's always some kind of reward. You want to make sure it's unique. Don't reward yourself by taking yourself out to dinner at a place you always go to. That's not unique. It's not a real reward. I have people in my organization that love this, especially with women that are stay-at-home moms. I say, you know what, when you hit executive level, what you ought to do is go to your husband and say, honey, if I make it to executive, can we hire a maid? And, you know, wow, that's a huge thing. For a lot of people, that's great. Look at all the time it frees up for you. It's a win-win-win. It's a win for you, a win for your husband, a win for the kids, a win for the house. It's a win-win-win. Get yourself a maid. Take yourself out of the realm of doing some of those duties and tasks that you really abhor or don't like doing, and get somebody else to do them for you. But make it as a reward system. So make it fun. Make it a game. Make it playful. Enjoy it. But make it unique and make it definitely a reward. Don't make it a false reward, because false rewards don't motivate. And then the final thing you talk about in that chapter, which I think are great, I've never looked at this before, so maybe some of you, this could be new for you too. It's tips on getting your goals. Because we have setting your goals is one thing, and we just spent a lot of time talking about setting goals. How about getting your goals? Because some of you trip up on that. Well, a lot of us do. A lot of it's because we don't put the energy behind it. We don't focus on it. But he gives us two simple steps to getting your goals. Two simple steps. The first one is called reverse goal setting. So when you look at a goal that you're trying to complete, treat it as if it's already completed. So let's say you've got down on your goal setting, you said, I'm going to be, because that's future tense words, okay? I am executive director by August 1st, 2006. So you're giving you 2 months to get to executive status. Or you could say national status. Let's try that. That's more reasonable for some of you, whatever that status is. Okay, so I am executive or I am national by August 1st. There's your goal. Now treat it right this moment as if it's completed. Okay, so, hey, guess what? I am executive right now. I'm an executive director right now. Okay, so you start looking at what had to happen just before that was achieved. So what had to happen just before I achieved executive status? So you start saying, well, I have to start breaking that down. So start thinking about it. I go, well, I really needed to get 3 business builders in my downline, or at least 2 business builders in my downline. Great. Okay, what has to happen? Now you start asking again. What has to happen for me to get 2 business builders in my organization? Well, I have to start, sharing more, presenting the business more to more people. I need to start, and you start listing things that you have to do in order to get that to happen. And then you have to go, okay, great, now break it down further. Well, okay, what has to happen for me to start sharing more? Why am I not sharing enough? What has to happen? Well, I probably need to find a babysitter a couple hours a day to take care of my kids so I can free up more time. Great. You see, you start breaking it down from what has to happen, assuming the goal is already met. You start saying to yourself, what had to happen just before I got there? Then whatever that had to be, you ask the same question again. What had to happen for me to get there? And you keep breaking it down. What had to happen for me to get there until you get back to status quo, where you are today? Now, if you look at your piece of paper and you wrote down every single thing that had to happen before each of those events, you're going to have a whole trail of doable steps in order to reach that goal. And that's why so many of us don't reach goals, is because we don't know how to break them down into steps and action steps that take us to get there. But if you start reverse goal setting, you're going to get the doable steps on a piece of paper. And sometimes that might take 20 steps. It might take 10. It may take 15. It might, whatever the number is. But keep asking and re-asking that question until it gets you back to status quo. And then you'll have a whole list of doable steps that takes to get there. So what a great way. I've never heard this before. It's the first time I really heard of it and really looked hard at it. And I think it has a lot of credibility and veracity to it around how I can help or how you yourself reach the goals that you set. Start doing reverse goal setting. Take the goal, treat it as if already accomplished, and then start asking the question, what had to happen just before I achieved that goal? What had to happen just before I achieved that accomplishment? What had to happen right before I achieved that accomplishment? Keep breaking it down, breaking it down, breaking it down, breaking it down until you get a whole flurry of lifts. Okay, so that's step number one that Peter Hirsch suggests in his book. Step number two is consistent, focused action. And we know how critical that is. That's the power of focus. Getting Canfield's book and reading it and really getting it and really adopting it in our life. Again, reading books is great, but it's only great if you start applying it in your life. You need to be focused. You need to be on action. You need to be on focus, organized, on action, on. So once you've developed that list of doable steps, now you've got to start focusing on those steps. And you're going to start seeing, by the focus you put in on it, you're going to start seeing consistently what you consistently have to do to bring about hitting each and every one of those steps, accomplishing each one of those steps by consistent, focused action. And that means by looking at it every day, not putting it off and looking at it once a month. It means every day getting consistent, focused action. And that's what I had to do. None of the people that you see who are successful in Manatech or successful in other areas of their life without focus. Focus is crucial. Focus is absolute necessity. It's like those 8 saccharides on the outside of the cell surface. You want those cells to communicate properly, you got to have those 8 saccharides. You want to get success in your life, you got to get focus in your life. You got to have focus. And it's got to be crystal clear. There has to be clarity around what that is. And that's what makes things work. So the other thing that he mentioned, there are 4 last things on the bottom of the outline that I put there, other valuable elements to identify and write. it kind of gets through. So besides the concept of those two simple steps, reverse goal setting, which I think is terrific. I'd never seen it before, never applied it, and I'm going to start looking at it and using it in my life because I think it's a neat concept. Consistent, focused action. Of course, I'm a focus queen. I love to be focused on things and get things done. So that's part of who I am today. But it's very critical when you're working towards goals that you are able to have that consistent focus, that just laser-sharp clarity and focus on what you're trying to accomplish. And what he says is, here are valuable elements to identify. What obstacles do you need to overcome to complete your goal? So if there's specific obstacles, you got to be aware of those because you got to be able to focus on overcoming those. What skills do you need to develop or complete your goal? Are there specific skill sets that you need to develop? And then go after those. That's like to have a to-be list on the top of your to-do list. I always suggest that people. Like, I want to be a better listener. Well, if that's a skill you need to develop in order to become a presidential event, you better get some tools that are going to help you develop that skill, whether that's Carol McCall's listening tapes or whatever that might be. You need to get tapes or books or things that are going to support you and move you forward. Or take courses on listening skills so you can become better. 3, who are the people you'll need to speak with or the resources you'll need? You better know what that's going to entail in order to get to that goal. And 4 is what other knowledge will you need to reach your goal? Be very clear on what your knowledge you need to reach those goals. So those are 4 elements to identify in writing for yourself to make sure you're on a pathway that's going to get you the goals you need. In the last quote I kind of put in there, I kind of condensed a couple sentences of his at the end of the book. He says, set your goals, read them every day, take consistent action focused on accomplishing your goals, and when you do this, you'll catch the winds of destiny and live the rewards of joy and adventure that come to everyone sailing the stunning seas of life. Great little quote. Okay, people, great. Any feedback do we have from the call? Anyone on the call? Is there something special that hit you or something you thought
Mary
about?
Jo?
Yeah.
On the reverse goal setting,
uh-huh.
I would encourage people to do that. I bought the book, was reading it, the passion book,
uh-huh.
And I got a big legal piece of paper and did it, and I won the cruise.
Wow, isn't that great? Thank you for your testimonial on that. That's wonderful. That's great.
Using the big legal pad, you know, the uh-huh. longest one, the legal sheet.
Uh-huh.
Then as you know, I did them, and I tried. Paper, I ended up with this little tablet with the last few things.
Right. You got really focused on what were those little steps you need.
Yeah.
Very doable steps.
And it worked. I mean, it was like, I can do this. I encourage people to do it. It's really fun.
Isn't that great? Thank you. Thank you for the testimonial. Isn't that wonderful? That's exactly what we talked about, reversing the, yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, Major. This is something that we had learned as well through Landmark, and it was called the Merlin Principle, and we used this as well for planning exactly what we needed to create to be able to win the trip,
right.
Then to win the $500 spending money, and then to get one of our positions to national, and this is exactly the way that we are looking at building our business.
Isn't that wonderful?
From the future, coming backwards.
You got it. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful concept.
Awesome.
Wonderful concept. Start with the future, come backwards towards it, right? And that'll give you the steps. That's the doable steps that'll get you there. Because some of you go, it looks so overwhelming to you. It's like, how do you eat an elephant? If you ask somebody how to eat an elephant, they would just look at it and be overwhelmed. How do I get 140 points for a cruise? They look at 140 points and they become overwhelmed. Well, don't look at the 140. Say, what do I have to do immediately before getting the 140? Well, I have to do this, this, and this. Well, what do I have to do to that? You have to do this, this, and this. And you'll keep backing yourself up. What do I need to do today? Well, I need to go out and share with 5 people, and that's going to help me get the, you know, you get it? And it's very doable. You can break it down into doable steps when you keep backing up from it, from the furthest distance, bringing it forward from the future. Amen. Thanks for this. Glad to hear you using it. Anyone else?
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
The secret, I believe the website, I don't know if that was mentioned, www.thesecret.tv.